The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Yes, it is, and it's such a privilege and delight that I get to talk to one of my favorite people in the whole wide world of sports and everything else, John Cribb. John Cribb is the author of the best book on Abraham Lincoln published in a really long time. We had him on when the book came out in September, I think it was, of last year, Old Abe, a novel. It's a fantastic book. Lincoln has been much with us on this show, and especially of late. I spoke earlier of how they took his name, along with a lot of other names, off a school and school name in San Francisco. John Cribb, in trying to promote his book, or his publisher, in trying to promote his book on Facebook, ran into the teeth of the cancel culture here. John, first of all, welcome to the club.
Well, thank you, dude. I appreciate it.
Oh, you got that, huh? Okay. You heard that. Okay. Now you will be a guest regularly.
Yeah, our friend Noreen is listening too, and she texted me and said you have to call stuff, dude. I have to say,
I'm the dude.
Well, in all honesty and humility, of all the people in the world, I'm probably the least likely to be called dude. You may be the second.
I am not the second, John. Okay, you killed the interview. We're done. It's over. No, John, but you're also the least likely to be canceled in cancel culture.
Yeah.
Facebook has a problem with America's greatest president, you write in Real Clear Politics today. Abraham Lincoln's run-in with the tech giant Facebook began late last year when your publisher decided to buy some media ads for your book, Old Abe. You created a bunch of ads, submitted them, and right away, Facebook said rejected.
Right.
And then you followed up, and they followed up and said, not going to happen. Talk to me.
Right. Yeah, they rejected it, and we went and Facebook, in fairness, they reject a lot of ads, you know, every year, usually for technical reasons.
A book about Abe Lincoln?
Formatting. Yeah, well, it's usually formatting. But anyway, they rejected it, and so we appealed, and then they said this ad will not run. And the reason is that they said the ad, there were two ads. They were pretty much the same ad with different backgrounds. They said the ad violated their ban on social issues, elections, and politics. And this is a ban that Facebook put into effect right before the presidential election. And they've left it in place for the foreseeable future. It's part of Facebook's effort to crack down on misinformation,
right,
unquote.
Right.
But the absurdity here is that this is a historical novel about the last 5 years of Abraham Lincoln's life. It takes place 160 years ago. It has nothing to do with current day elections or politics or social issues. So, the first point is it's just absurd. We can't pick up the phone and call Mark Zuckerberg, so we don't know exactly what's going on, but our suspicion is the ads consisted of simply three quotes, one by Mike Pence saying this is the best Lincoln book I've ever read, and another by our friend Bill Bennett saying this book makes you love Lincoln, and another from a review of a Civil War monitor saying this book will appeal to generations. But we think maybe what happened is that the name Mike Pence and maybe Bill Bennett, you know, trip some algorithm or trigger.
Have me advertise the book, and maybe Facebook will take it. Although my identity with the Claremont Institute might cancel it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you've been very, very nice in helping.
No, but I know what's going on here. The dots were connected for me just today by my general manager, Jim Ryan. There's a story at the Epoch Times. Facebook hires Biden transition Obama-era official as vice president of civil rights.
No.
Facebook now has a vice president of civil rights, as if it's the Department of Justice.
Yeah, really, the civil rights division.
Yeah, there's Facebook, the civil rights division at Facebook, and they hired an Obama, an Obama DOJ urban affairs advisor as their VP of civil rights at a seven-figure salary. And Lincoln is out of step with civil rights these days, John.
Right. He definitely is, as we know from what happened in San Francisco and other places recently. Although I think this may be a little bit different. You know, here's the problem, I think, is that, you know, this is not only absurd, but it's dangerous in that it's part of a spreading pattern of censorship and suppression of speech in the public square. And whether we like it or not, social media has become a big part of our public square. And
I think it is the public square now. I really do. I want to get into that with you because you write about that. Go ahead.
Yeah. And this is just one book, and it's you know, just a couple ads for Facebook, but this is the kind of collateral damage you get when big tech companies make sweeping rules that affect millions of people and dictate what can and can't be said in the public square. And if they keep expanding these kind of, you know, policing powers, it's this kind of collateral damage is going to get worse, and people are not going to like it. They're not.
No. And can we bookmark that point? Because I want to circle back to what to do about it. You get into that a little bit in your Real Clear Politics piece today. I want to stick with Lincoln, and we'll build to that if we can for a second. Can we?
Okay.
We're talking to John Cribb, his book, Old Abe, one of the greatest books on Lincoln I've read, and I've read a lot, as many of you know, on Lincoln. So let's just talk about this cancel culture of Lincoln and American history, because I think that's what we're talking about in the public square here. John, you remember in the 90s we were talking about the naked public square when it came to issues having to do with religion, at least Christianity or traditional religion? I think that was the phrase. Yeah. Who was the editor of First Things who coined that phrase? I'm trying to remember his name.
Yeah, I can't remember, but I know what you're talking
I'll
about.
I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, he coined the phrase the naked public square when it came to religion, denuding the square, anything in public having to do with traditional religion. We are now denuding the public square with anything having to do with American history. The first act, I think literally the first act, it certainly happened on the first day, I don't know if you saw this, of the Biden administration. The first day, they didn't only scrub and disband the 1776 Commission. The 1776 Commission had put out a report. I had said it's probably the best government document ever issued since 1787 or since 1986 in the Department of Education for present company. It was a great report. It was a 40-page report on the history of America and the issues we faced. They took it down. It was an official White House link, and they scrubbed it. It gives you a 404 error page now. It was done on the first day of the – talk about memory holing. Talk about – so you, the only way to get that commission report now is from other, you know, private sources.
Really,
there is a war against American history going on, John Cribb.
There sure is, and it's been going on for a while. Kind of both a soft war in that history is probably the worst taught and worst learned subject in schools.
That's been for some time now, right? But now that adults want to try and learn it, because we were good at that, right?
Now it's a hard war, too. Yeah. And, you know, we're obviously living in a time when statues of American icons are being defaced and torn down and names taken off of schools. And if Americans are going to be a self-governing people, they would do well to know their history, because it informs us in so many ways. So
the Lincoln thing is what is so fascinating to me, this animus towards Lincoln. You ran into it. San Francisco has a committee, and I don't think George Orwell could have named it better, but it's called the San Francisco Committee on Names. That's what it's called. It's called the Committee on Names. And they said they were going to get rid of the name Abraham Lincoln High School. They added a bunch more last night. I think they took down over 100 names of schools last night, including George Washington and, of all people, John Muir and Dianne Feinstein, God knows. There's a problem. When you asked the head, when the head of the Committee on Names was asked why Lincoln was on the chopping block, do you know what he said? Abraham Lincoln, quote, didn't show Black Lives Matter to him.
Right.
Now, this about the president who Frederick Douglass said when he met him was the first man to not look at him like a black man. And that very well may be the problem, John, with the identity politics that is running so rampant now. You must see race. You must see race. I got to take a break. Can you stay a little bit?
All right. Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah.
So the man who didn't say anything about Black Lives Mattering, my gosh, I have always hated slavery. It will blow out all the moral lights. Slavery is a moral, social, and political evil. A Republican robe is soiled. All of that was about black lives. Well, John Cribb and his book on Lincoln meets the cancel culture. We'll be right back with more. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Delighted to have with us John Cribb, the author of the book Old Abe. Just came out last year. One of the great books on Abraham Lincoln. He has a piece in Real Clear Politics today on how Facebook censored the advertisement of that book. John, I don't know whether to be offended, what to be offended more at, that they're censoring you, that they're censoring Lincoln, or that we have a mutual friend named Noreen who said that she was going to tune in today because you were on the show. Oh, I'll tune in today because John's on the show. Never mind Monday through Friday, 3 hours.
Well, I don't know. Noreen may tune in all the time.
Evidently not. Sure. What time is John on? She texted me. I'll tune in. Oh, okay, thanks. I'll just tell her you're on every day. John, Lincoln.
Tina from Star Valley is going to start tuning in only when I'm on
exactly. So John, I want to talk to you about the point you're making regarding our public square and issues of free speech and education in a moment, but once more on Lincoln, if you will. How do you respond to the nonsense of educators, adults who say things like Lincoln didn't show Black Lives Matter to him? What do you say after you take your pull socks down a little bit?
Yeah, it's absurd, and it's sad, and it's heartbreaking for people, you know, who love Lincoln and love history. You know, a couple of points. Number one, this tendency to stand in judgment of people who lived a long time ago and hold them accountable, you know, to all of our standards is misguided, to put it nicely. If you go down that road, nobody passes muster. Nobody. You have to take people in the totality of their acts, as our friend Bill Bennett likes to say, and in the totality of his acts, Lincoln's life and his achievements are magnificent. Second point, I guess, you know, Lincoln led the effort to save the Union, to save our country when it was literally falling to pieces, to defend our founding principles when they were at stake, and to free millions of enslaved Americans. And I just have to wonder when I read about stuff like this, I wonder, what have these people who were trying to tear down and take down Lincoln, what have they done themselves? How are they so great and accomplished that they stand in judgment of Abraham Lincoln? Have they no humility at all? I mean, the arrogance of it is really breathtaking. It just really is.
That's a great point. These probably highly educated ignoramuses who today stand in judgment of the man who said in his second inaugural, if God wills that slavery continue until all the wealth piled by the bondsman's 250 years of unrequired toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn with the sword. To stand in judgment of that man?
Yeah.
No one can find the hat or the shoes to fill to stand in judgment of that man.
Yeah.
Who gave his life? Gave his life.
Right.
As the Christ literally martyr.
Gave,
yeah.
Right. Fought to his dying breath.
Mm-hmm.
For our founding principles and for our country. When you take a step back, it's just really quite remarkable that they are trying to stand in judgment of him. But that's what we're going through right now.
Maybe the only president killed because of racism.
That's a great point.
I think so. I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
John Cribb, absolutely. Talk to me about this other massive issue, one of the biggest issues of our day, the free exchange of ideas and information, which Facebook is attacking, but not just Facebook. Obviously, these a lot of social tech media giants. And people say, well, it's not really the First Amendment because it's not the government doing it. I get that. I get that. But it is the ethic of free speech.
Right. And that's a really alarming thing is that, you know, these people who are running these elitist institutions, these Silicon Valley corporations, these, you know, universities, government agencies, editorial boardrooms.
By the way, it is the government when they take down another government report and memory hole it. By the way, that is
is
the government. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
That's censorship all the way.
You bet. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt.
But these, you know, some of these people seem to have forgotten what free speech is, which is supposed to be a bedrock American right and principle. This country was founded to be a place where competing ideas meet in the public square, right? And some of the people running these institutions seem to have been taught in school or learned along the way somehow that if somebody says something that makes, you know, others feel unsafe or triggers them or maybe it's misinformation, that those people should be canceled or silenced. And that's not what this country is supposed to be about. It's really not. It's the opposite of what this country is supposed to be about.
You can't have self-government, and you can't have representative government. And I don't even know what the meaning of a peaceful transition of power is if you're contemplating that powers can transition, if you can't have competing points of view. You can't have consent of the governed. That's really the main bedrock here, consent of the governed. If you have no way of achieving consent, the only way of achieving consent outside of the lash or the gulag is debate, speech, and argument, isn't it? Am I missing something?
Yes. No, I think that's exactly right. And I think they're just not, somehow they're just not getting it. I don't know if this is a massive failure of our education system or whether maybe what was initially libertarian instincts on the part of Silicon Valley has now given in to some, you know, left-wing ideology, maybe? I'm not sure.
Let me take it up a notch. Let me add some heat to that pot, and you feel free to disagree if you want. But let me suggest that it's something far more nefarious, John, which is that there is now, has been for a bit, but now much more ubiquitous, a confined area of tolerable speech. And that confined area of tolerable or acceptable speech, I was curious, you know, I was doing a deep dive into communism and socialism and theory a couple years ago, and more so last year as well, Marxism. And I was curious to see what the Marxist websites and scholars were saying about their commitment to free speech. And they said on the websites to a T, even organizations like Marxist.org, we believe in free speech so long as it serves the state and Marxism. And I'm beginning to think, John, that we have now an area of free speech in this country that runs a gamut, but the gamut extends perhaps only so far as Joe Biden's right hand and runs so far as to Ilhan Omar's left. And anything to the right of Joe Biden's right hand, honestly, anything to the right of that doesn't need to be protected because it doesn't deserve to be protected because it's not a legitimate point of view. Can we come back to this point of a legitimate point of view when we come back? You
sure.
Tell me
yeah.
if my
no,
thesis
right.
is right or wrong. I'll defer to you on this. I think that the effort here is to make conservative thought, never mind conservative thought and speech, beneath dignity, beneath respect, beneath tolerance, beneath acceptability. And conservatives, I think you see this in the impeachment of Donald Trump, quite frankly. Untermenschen. You cannot have a certain point of view in this country and be considered legitimate or have a legitimate claim to the natural apparatuses of this country. That's my thought. We'll be right back.
I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
If you're not into the whole brevity thing, I love that. John Cribb is our guest. He is the best-selling author who has written the book Old Abe, which Facebook has not allowed to be advertised on its platform, lest we learn about Abraham Lincoln. But, John, the point I was making as we headed into the break, I wondered if you might expound on that just a little bit. Feel free to disagree, too. I was saying I think it's something far more nefarious. Yes, absence of education and the importance of free speech and debate, but I think leading to the point of view dominant now, as I see it, that conservative thought is outside the bounds of it. It's now akin to illegal incitement, let's say.
Right, yeah.
Or obscenity or any of the forbidden forms of speech.
Yeah, now I agree. And, but before I mention that just real quickly, I was very sad to hear on your news break that Cloris Leachman has died.
Yes. She played Nurse Ratched in High Anxiety.
Want to play with the cookies?
Yeah.
High Anxiety, yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember her basically from the Mary Tyler Moore Show and
Phyllis.
And but yeah, I think she was one of the most nominated actresses on you know on TV history. I think for Emmy.
Was she in Butch Cassidy somehow?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. Gorgeous woman at one point. Great actress. A lot of fun.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry for that detail.
No, that's okay. It's fine. She has now gotten more attention in the last 10 minutes
than in the last five years. Yeah.
No, but she was in a movie called Spanglish. I think she may have been one of her last roles. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. But anyway, I know you're a popular culture.
Yeah, no, of course. I was thinking of Mary Tyler Moore earlier for other reasons. We'll do it. We'll do that another time. But go ahead. Go ahead.
But back to your more important point. I agree. I don't think we've talked about this, but in listening to Biden's inaugural address, which I thought was, okay in some ways, but not great in some ways. And back to Lincoln for a second, Lincoln in that great second inaugural address, he was calling for unity the same way as Biden was trying to do. But Lincoln did something that Biden went nowhere near, I think. If you remember that address, which is one of the great speeches in American history, he talked about the root causes of the war, which was slavery.
Right.
And he wasn't not letting the South off the hook as far as being, starting the war, being the aggressor in any way.
Right.
But he basically laid out his view that the Civil War was God's way of judging and punishing both North and South for the sin of slavery. He says he gives to both North and South this terrible war as the woe due to those by whom the offense came, the offense being slavery. And then at the end, he calls for malice toward none and charity for all, and he's calling on both sides, especially the North, to do that. So basically, Lincoln was, as far as the responsibility for the root cause of the war, he was saying, look, we all had a part to play in this. And as far as healing the nation, he was saying to both sides, look, you both have a responsibility here. In listening to Joe Biden's speech, I got the feeling, and Seth, I've talked to several people who got the same feeling, that Biden was basically saying, if you're not with me, you're on the side of extremist racists, white supremacists, and other evil.
I thought it was gross that he mentioned those phrases in his inauguration.
Yeah.
And I think the tell was when he said the right, I'm quoting from his inaugural speech, the right to dissent peaceably within the guardrails of our republic is perhaps our nation's greatest strength. I worry about the parenthetical within the guardrails of our republic. Goes to what I was saying before the break. There's a category of speech and thought that is not within the guardrails as the left now defines it, and it's called conservatism.
Right.
That's my view.
Yes. Yeah. I'm afraid so. And that may be what we ran up against in the old Abe ad being turned down, that two conservative names, Mike Pence and Bill Bennett, popped up in those ads, and somebody hit the reject button, or an algorithm programmed by some woke person hit the reject button.
Boy, if you can't, wow, Yeah, to think that an endorsement from a vice president who was supposedly the hero to the left of the January, what do you want to call it, the January 6th riot, right? The left seems to be in high dudgeon about what Donald Trump was saying about Mike Pence.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Although, in fairness, this we got rejected before January 6th.
You did.
So maybe, yeah, so maybe.
So it was back when Mike Pence was a bad guy because he was on Donald Trump's side.
Yeah, it was mid-December.
Can you stay a little longer?
Yeah.
I want to talk about this war on history with you. I'm Seth Leibson. He's John Cribb. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. The author of Old Abe, John Cribb, is with us. He had a piece in Real Clear Politics today. Facebook would not allow them to promote, advertise this most wonderful of books about Abraham Lincoln. John, there's a part of it that is probably ignorant, and there's a part of it that might be logarithmic because, as you say, it was endorsed by, of all people, Mike Pence, Bill Bennett, but others too. And there's another part of it which I think goes to what happened in the San Francisco school board decision yesterday, which is I don't think they want us to learn about Lincoln because they don't want us to learn, as they don't want us to learn about other parts of our history like the 1776 Commission put out, they don't want us to learn that side of the story. You know, when this country is indicted for having a slave past, none of us have ever covered up any of that. I grew up knowing that. I grew up learning that. I know you must have as well. We grew up roughly around the same time. There was no papering over that. We all, in fact, studied the Civil War, I think, a lot more then than we do now, probably, to be honest with you, in much more detail.
Yeah.
But there's a problem here that I think the progressives haven't wrestled with or don't want to or don't want us to know, which is while slavery was a part of this country, it was a part of this country. It wasn't all of this country. And, in fact, it wasn't even the largest part of this country. The Union was bigger than the Confederacy. And also we won. The Union won. And so you can have Colin Kaepernick's talking about this country being steeped in slavery, but it's not true. It was part of this country. And you can hear any number of progressives talking about how our founding was based on protecting slavery, be it the 1619 Project or any of the progressives you listen to today. But that was, ironically enough, the view of people like Roger B. Taney and Alexander Stevens and Jefferson Davis. That was the Confederate view of the founding. It wasn't Lincoln's view or Frederick Douglass's view or God knows Martin Luther King's view or God knows the dissents in Plessy versus Ferguson or the Dred Scott decision's view. They have adopted the Confederate view and history of America. And maybe they don't want us to read the history of America that actually prevailed. Is that a possibility?
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Yeah, no, and it's ironic. It's very ironic. There's so much to be said here, but I agree with you that some of this is rooted in just plain ignorance.
Yeah, sure.
They don't know the record. They don't really know the record of people like Lincoln and Washington and Jefferson.
Right.
And they don't realize that you know, at the turn of the 19th century, three-quarters of the world's population, according to some estimates, was held in bondage of some kind. So it's not like the United States was, you know, some weird aberration out there that we can all throw our hate at. I mean, it's just
right. We weren't the Sudan of the 18th and 19th centuries.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I also agree with you that some of this is calculated. There are people out there who I think, you know, most of them or a good bit of them are on the far left who don't like this country, don't like what it stands for, and they want radical change. And they know that if they can convince people with the icons of American history, the Lincolns, the Jeffersons, the Washingtons, you know, especially the founders, were rotten, bad people, then it's a lot easier to convince people that the whole thing was rotten and bad from the beginning, and that makes it a lot easier to argue for radical change.
A listener emails me, does Mr. Cribb think the anti-Lincoln people want us not to learn about reconciliation, or do they not even know about how necessary it is, and what are the results of that?
I guess by reconciliation, you think the emailer means...
what you said about Lincoln's prayer, you know, that we both forgive each other, both sides forgive each other, and what how easy it would be. I think that's what he's getting at, how easy it would be for Biden to have gone in that direction. You know, that's the funny thing. You talk about unity. You talk about unity, or the president talks about unity. There's nothing more uniting than a constitution and a people that coalesces around and agrees upon foundational principles. The word constitution from the Latin constitutionary actually means to unite.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's actually great. It's a great point about the email. Yes, absolutely. It wouldn't be that difficult to make the statement, you know, to put it in the inaugural address. Now, I don't know how difficult it would be for Joe Biden to actually do it through actions. I think he's a pretty partisan guy. And
yeah, no, I agree with you on that, but who cares what he says at an inauguration? He could say anything he wants, right? It doesn't matter if the actions meet it or not. He could have said something.
Yeah, yeah. He could have, but he didn't. So that may be a telltale there.
No, I think it is, and I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I think we have to pay attention about what's going on, not just in what the president says or what his executive orders say. Honestly, I think that might be just the result, the end point of what's been going on in our schools for an awfully long time. And that's what worries me the most. That's where you've worked, obviously, so seriously in years past. But, you know, everyone's fond of quoting George Orwell about disappearing books. I'm fond of quoting Milan Kundera. The first step in liquidating a people, he wrote, is to erase its memory, destroy its books, its culture, its history, then have somebody write new books, manufacture a new culture, invent a new history. And before long, the nation will begin to forget what it is and what it was.
Yeah.
And that's
a
man who lived in a country that disappeared, right?
Yeah. Great quote. But if I can take Lincoln out of context just a little bit.
Sure.
His Young Men's Lyceum speech when he says, if destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher.
Yep.
He was talking in the immediate sense about the riot and murder that had taken part, had taken place in Alton, Illinois. But those words apply equally to the erasure of history and historical ignorance.
You bet.
If that happens, then the people who are
intentional national amnesia, I think, is what I would call it. Well, John Cribb, it's always wonderful, talking to you.
Thank you, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Your book
it.
Is Thanks, Old thank Abe, you. And I want people to read it so they can know history and not forget who we as a people are. Godspeed to you, John Cribb. God love you. And come back soon
Thanks,
so I can have Noreen listen to the show.
I would love to. Thank
okay.
you.
We'll be right back. Today we had two songs that make my producer blush. It was that one and Older Women. Make him blush. God love you. I'll close with how I opened. I think the opening monologue, if you missed it, I think it was one of the better ones, talking about what I think the real meaning of never again must mean, because we haven't achieved it. We haven't lived it. We haven't appreciated it. We haven't accepted it. We haven't adopted it. And I go into the reasons for that and the ironies of that. And I'll just close. We talked a lot about Lincoln. I'll close with one of the reasons I quoted him in my monologue, that the assertion all men are created equal, thank God it is now proving itself a stumbling block to those who in after times might seek to turn a free people back into the hateful paths of despotism. Our founders knew the proneness of prosperity to breed tyrants, and they meant when such should reappear in this fair land and commence their vocation, they should find left for them at least one hard nut to crack. That one hard nut to crack is the notion that all men are created equal. That was the violation of some of the worst regimes in the history of the world. And to perpetuate the need to keep saying things like never again, all we have to do is keep judging people not by their human nature and their equality, but things like their race. But that is not the durable. Someone's race is not the durable. Someone's ethnicity is not. Someone's gender is not. Their human nature is, and thank God we were a country founded on the natural rights based in our human nature. Until tomorrow, God bless you. I'm Seth Leibson. Class dismissed.